Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson.
Well, if you're fortunate enough to be driving down Highway 101 in California on a Sunday morning like I was recently and going from Sonoma County back to Santa Cruz County, you have to cross the Golden Gate Bridge and go through San Francisco. But before you do, you go through the county of Marin, and driving down the road, there is a big sign up that said, visit the farmer's market. You hardly ever see farmer's market signs out on a near a freeway like that that are lit and say, come to the farmer's market. So I have a clause in my contract that I can't drive past a farmer's market. So I pulled in, and what a great farmer's market. And lo and behold, I find out there's a whole lot more story there. And so to explain that, I'm happy to have with me today Peter Healy. And Peter is with the Ag Institute of Marin. Peter, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Peter, I just thought I was pulling into a farmer's market, and lo and behold, I find out you're a whole lot more than that. Could you explain what is the Ag Institute of Marin?
Sure, yeah, I'm glad you asked. We don't often get a chance to tell this story, but we're a 501c3 based in San Rafael, California, and we operate 7 certified farmer's markets all around the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, now, and then you have a lot of other programs. Did you start as a farmer's market and then expand into other things, or did you start as something else and expand into farmer's market?
You know, our story of inception predates me quite a bit. We've been around for about 30 years, so I don't want to speculate there. But I will tell you, our farmer's markets do allow us the opportunity to offer a variety of programs to help us sort of educate consumers on the benefits of supporting their local ag economy. We have a few educational programs where we're able to offer farmers market tours free of charge to school groups of any age. We can offer affordable tours of farms actually in Marin County, bring schools out to the farms to get to know a little more about how their food is produced. And in addition to that, we can send an educational team out to any school in the Bay Area that's interested in having a presentation about food system. So we're very proud of those 3 programs.
Now, for some people that aren't familiar with Northern California, you are just over the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's the first county above San Francisco, I believe.
Correct.
But you also have a reputation of being a very expensive county. It's one that the housing costs are very high, and people almost joke about the fact that that zip code or those zip codes are some of the kind of the most high-priced zip codes in America. And so at a couple different levels, questions comes up on that. And that is, one is, it's hard to imagine that it's also an agricultural county. I mean, how does farming exist in such an area that has so much else going on for it?
Yeah. Now, it's an important question, and it's, as always in a lot of these towns and counties across the state and the country, that agriculture is constantly under threat of development and rising property costs and housing markets. But we in Marin County are fortunate enough to have benefited from an organization called the Marin Agricultural Land Trust that has protected tens of thousands of acres of property along the coastline, and mostly the western half of the county has sort of been protected in trust, and the development rights of those properties have been essentially purchased by this organization that has made it its mission to protect agriculture in our county.
Well, I don't want to just dwell on strictly that farmer's market, because you have, what did you say, 6 or 7 other farmer's markets, too?
7.
7.
Yeah.
Is Marin the largest one of them?
Yeah, our Sunday Marin Civic Center market is the largest one we operate, but we have two San Francisco markets on Clement Street and at the Stonestown Mall on Sundays. Three markets in the East Bay, including Oakland Grand Lake Market on Saturdays, one in downtown Hayward on Saturdays, and one at the New Park Mall on Sundays. And all seven of those markets are year-round markets. We don't close if it's raining. We're open rain or shine, and we're actually proud to also announce that we have a very nice benefit for EBT users at all seven of our Bay Area markets. EBT, also known as SNAP, is a federal benefit offered to lower-income families, and we have infrastructure set up at all seven of our Bay Area markets to offer to accept EBT, first of all, and we've also received additional grant funding that will double people's EBT withdrawals up to $10 per day. So theoretically, someone could go to all seven of our Bay Area markets once a week and pick up an extra $70 of additional benefit that they can use to buy fresh fruits and vegetables.
Now, how do they do that? So they bring a card or something in?
Correct. The program is available for folks that have already qualified for this EBT benefit for the SNAP or CalFresh, as it's called in California. So people come with their card, which is essentially a debit card. They can come up to our information booth, swipe the card, and we can give them a currency, market currency that we've created that's specifically used for our farmers markets around the Bay Area, and they just spend them like cash.
So you take it, and if you want to go buy any produce at all, you get $10 worth for free just with having that card. You don't have to have it matched? You don't have to, or do you have to have?
That's a good question. It is a match.
Oh,
so
okay.
You have to take $10 out of your account if you want to pick up the additional $10.
Okay. Okay.
So,
but you're getting a half price, and that gets right to another issue, and that is the perception that farmers markets are just for rich people, that people can't afford to shop at farmers right markets. What do you think when you hear people say that?
I'm glad you asked that question. I think it's an important assumption to challenge. I think, generally speaking, we've done cost comparisons with all the major grocers in our area, and oftentimes with particular products we will match or beat their prices. The important thing to realize is when you're shopping at a farmer's market, you're buying directly from the producer. So there's no middleman, there's no distribution company that needs to mark up prices and then sell to a grocer. You're going direct from the producer and sort of eliminating those fee hikes along the way. In addition to that, if buying directly from the producer really eliminates the cost hikes along the way. One more thing I didn't mention that we are proud to offer is that we have about 30 to 50 certified producers that will accept WIC checks, which is a benefit from the government offered to women, infants, and children to help pay for essentials such as food. So a lot of our farmers have gone through the process of qualifying to accept those monies, and we're happy to help direct people who are shopping at the farmers market towards those producers.
Now, is that a benefit that's also offered? It is offered at supermarkets as well, isn't it?
Correct.
But I don't believe the supermarkets have anything like the matching program that you have with the EBT.
As far as I know, they do not.
So it's just at the farmers markets. So,
correct.
Well, that's an incredible program. Now, again, I'm going to come back to the stereotype that you're in an area that's perceived to be one of the most affluent areas in
sure.
the entire United States. And let me ask a question. Don't take this wrong, but, are there many poor people that need to avail themselves of it at your markets?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked. And the answer is yes. We've done a lot of research in this area, particularly because we're passionate about reaching out to those communities that don't feel like the farmers market is attainable to them. I can tell you, and my assumption is that it's the same in any affluent county, is that there is a diversity, an economic diversity that you don't often see in the housing prices and see in the newspaper articles about healthy, affluent communities. But we do have quite a discrepancy between our most affluent and sort of the other end of the spectrum. And we have, the county has provided estimates anywhere from $20 to $30 million of untapped federal funds for lower-income families that qualify for EBT and other programs like that that are simply not accessing it. And that the reason they're not accessing it could be a whole separate podcast.
No.
But there's all sorts of stigmas around accepting those subsidies and questions about families' immigration status that might come into question if they apply for subsidies like that. But yes, we do have a discrepancy of an economic diversity in the Marin County. You just don't often hear about it.
So how do you do an outreach? I mean, have you done anything to try to get people to come that don't ordinarily come to farmers markets to overcome their resistance, just assuming it's just for rich people, but it's not, that they can take advantage. Have you done some outreach to get more of those folks to come to the markets?
Yeah, no, I think that's an important question. We have. It's a difficult audience to reach for us, but we have. We try to reach them at the source, which is where a lot of these benefits are issued. We try to reach them where they're able to sign up for benefits and ask for the social workers that are helping to sign these folks up, that they share the information with them, because we have a similar target audience that I think we should both be working towards. You know, having conversations like this with you on the radio or on a podcast or speaking at conferences and panels, I think is another way to get it out there. But it's difficult. It's a difficult story to tell, and of course there's a lot of, oftentimes, a language barrier in the way. So we're coming up with new, exciting ideas. One final program I wanted to share with you that might help us achieve that mission is, as opposed to trying to bring these communities to the farmers market, we're working on a program that will bring the farmers market to these communities, and that's mobile farmers market food truck, essentially, that'll drive all around Marin County and offer sort of a microcosm of what you might find at the farmers market in those areas where folks feel they're unable to access the farmers market, the while offering those EBT and SNAP market match benefits.
Is anybody else doing that in the country?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are a couple of projects that I've been in close contact with around the country trying to learn from some of their startup struggles. But it's a difficult area. As always, the food business is, the margins are tight, and it's difficult to launch a new venture like that. But we're in the situation where we're a nonprofit. We're not trying to make a profit, and we have the relationships with the farmers and with the community that we're looking to take advantage of and hope to make a successful project.
You know, I have to share, I was on the other coast. I was actually in Harlem, and the farmers in upstate New York had worked out a partnership that were bringing produce down to Harlem and the Bronx all around in New York. Huh. And one of the things that I was really intrigued with, you might keep in mind, was that they always had something in like a crock pot showing people how to use the vegetables. Because one thing that somebody can say, look, like you just described, you could get $70, kind of free worth of fruits and vegetables from all of your markets in theory. But as you start taking this out, a lot of people look at them and say, I'm not that used to cooking. I mean, what do I do with a big pile of carrots, And so, anyway, I just was really intrigued because all the spots that people came to pick up and purchase the food in church basements and school halls and other places around Harlem, there was a crock pot with something, some sort of stew or soups, And people were really responding well to that because, you know, if you bought, you know, if you had $70 worth of produce, you could make enough soup to have three or four meals that week on. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to mention that because it's something, as you start rolling that out, you might think of having some samples, examples of how they could prepare foods.
Absolutely. And sort of along that line, we've been doing a lot of outreach about this project in the county lately. And as I mentioned before, a lot of the organizations working on sort of public health and agriculture have the same goals in mind. So we've reached out to a few folks, including nutritionists and health experts that want to sort of partner with us on this. And us not being the experts in all those fields, we're happy to work with people who make it their life's work to help us all solve of our similar goals.
Well, so, you know, one other effect, I'm going to go back to the farmers. I would assume to cover all your markets, it looks like you've got farms coming from close by. In some cases, they're coming from the Central Valley for there's some products that aren't maybe produced close to the coast. Have you seen new farmers coming on board or farmers growing because of the increased demand taking place at the markets?
You know, in my limited experience, I've been doing this for a little over 3 years, I don't think I've had enough time to see that sort of growth.
Mm-hmm.
We're always receiving new applications from new farmers all over the state of California, and everyone is anxious to make it work. We're certainly trying to support all these small growers, but at a certain point we can't duplicate what's already represented in the markets without doing any damage.
So you've got a long list, I imagine, of people that want to get in as soon as they get room.
Yes, absolutely.
That brings up another thing I noticed on your website, is you mentioned earlier that you're open rain or shine, but you're also working on a long-range plan that the elements won't be an issue if you're going to have more of a market covered. Is that right? You're coming up with a plan for a permanent center sometime?
Absolutely, yeah. We're working closely with the County of Marin on a public market hall project that will ultimately offer some cover for some of our growers during the inclement weather and also help, of course, encourage customers not to have to brave the wet weather if they're covered. So that's been a long-term ambition of ours, and it's getting closer and closer to being realized.
It's kind of interesting, too, because that's kind of going back to the old food halls. If you go back in some of the older cities in the East, that they had the year-round markets. And several, I know Indianapolis and Philadelphia and several others, still are maintaining inside their year-round markets. So you're kind of pulling a sheet off of that book.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not a new idea by any means. But it is kind of surprising that something like this hasn't already happened in an area that's so focused on sustainable agriculture and with such a big presence of farms and people that want to support it.
Well, Peter, you've got a pretty big team. I look at I'm sure you're all very busy, but I look, you've got a pretty good sized team that's working on all these different projects. I'm curious, how did you find yourself in coming to work for this organization?
how it always works, friend of a friend.
Okay. Now, you didn't have a farm background, or were you into food before that?
Yeah, well, that's the part I left out. I've always been sort of a diehard environmentalist, and towards the end of my environmental science studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara, I took a biotechnology class, and the professor there really left a lasting impact on me and got me to ask the question about where my food's coming from, which up until that point, I was about 20 years old, I'd never really even considered. So soon after school, I tried my hand at an organic farm and decided that was really hard work.
Were you a woofer by chance?
Sorry?
Were you a woofer?
I was not a woofer. I was a paid employee, barely making a living wage and working my ass off, and I thought, there's no way I can do this for decades, let alone another year. So I decided to try to support the industry in another way, and I found this opportunity and seized it.
When you look ahead, I mean, what makes you the most enthusiastic about the next few years when you're doing work like you are at Marin?
Oh, that's a good question. What makes me the most enthusiastic? I think a lot of the conversation we had a little earlier in this discussion about sort of the untapped potential of customers that aren't really taking advantage of this sort of thing in their own backyard, people that think they may be unable to afford some of the fresh fruits and vegetables that are being sold directly by the producers. I think that's a big area for growth that our organization will be working on, and to help sort of sustain a lot of these farmers that are really struggling to make ends meet. Another thing that's really exciting and that is certainly keeping these guys afloat is the restaurant industry, specifically in San Francisco. We have some of the top restaurants and chefs in the country, if not the world, and a lot of them are at our farmers markets every Thursday and Sunday, buying directly from these farmers and really helping them make ends meet. So that I think those relationships can only grow, and as customers start to demand more fresh and organic and local products on their menus, and I think that's a huge area for potential growth for a lot of these small family farms.
Well, that's a great story. And one final question, too, I was going to ask you. What share of your farmers would be certified organic?
That's a good question, and I think it varies from market to market. We tend to let the customer base and the demographic decide what they want their market to be comprised of. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in Marin County, we're looking at maybe 60-70% certified organic growers, whereas in maybe some of our other markets in the East Bay, Newark, or Hayward, the organic growers are certainly in the minority there.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of adapt to the neighborhood and the community we're working in.
You know, it's interesting that to me, I've gone to the Santa Monica market. They literally fly the flags over the ones that are certified for people that care to know.
Yeah. And I think it's an important question for consumers to ask themselves as well, is what is it? What does it mean to be certified organic? What is the value of it? Why do I want to support that? And oftentimes, the best person to ask about that is the farmer growing the produce themselves.
In my experience in talking to those farmers, they can almost always explain any production practice they have. So people mm-hmm. can come up thinking that they only wanted to get certain kind of product grown a certain way. Mm-hmm. But if they talk to the farmer, and the farmer usually has a good explanation of what practices that he's following. And 99% of the time, a consumer says, well, that's good enough for me. I believe you. Well, listen, this has been great, and my recommendation is anybody else is like me, drive down the road and see one of your markets, be sure and pull in. There's just great markets, and you've got a better selection of food to eat there than I've found in almost any place. I thought that was a great spot when you're hungry. So let's just wrap up and say, if somebody wants to find out more about your markets and about the Agricultural Institute of Marin, where do they look?
Well, we have a website, agriculturalinstitute.org, or we're happy to answer the phone. We don't automate any of that. So our phone number is 415-472-6100. We're always anxious to tell our story and to try to convince folks that farmers markets are the way to go.
Well, I tell you what, you've got some people excited right there because you actually gave a phone number. Most places anymore, you have to make sure you're doing an email and filling out something, and they won't let you get a phone number to actually call a human. And I have to say, when I've called you, you know, there's somebody answers the phone too, and that doesn't happen very much anymore. So I'm going to give your number again, 415-472-6100. For somebody that wants to know more about the programs and activities and farmers markets affiliated with the Ag Institute of Marin. Peter Healy, thanks for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thanks for having me, Roger. Appreciate your time.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com and follow us on SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter, or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.